Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. How many of us do that? We hear, but we don't respond. Is there a point to it? I know there is with me. When I hear it, but I don't respond to it. It's not that I'm processing. It's not that I'm trying to come up with a clever answer. That's not what Jesus was doing. He heard it, but he wanted it to settle. He wanted the request to settle. And that's exactly what it did. You know, I've mentioned before that sometimes I particularly, there are times in my life where I have seen a need or heard of a need, but I didn't respond to it right away because I wanted it to settle. In other words, is somebody else going to see the need and help? Is somebody else going to find an opportunity to step in? Is this something that God really wants me to do? Or am I acting out of the flesh? You know, because my flesh has sympathy just like my spirit does. And is it something that's human-driven or is it something that's God-driven? Do we know the difference? Can we see the difference? Do we wait and discern the difference? Because there are things in our lives that are only fleshly. God has no interest in it. When they get down in the end zone and pray after a touchdown, that's okay to give God glory. But when they prayed to get the touchdown, I want you to understand, that's really probably not something God cares about, whether the Jets score. Right? So we can make a big deal of those things, but there are things that are just fleshly. They're just human. They're not spiritual. It has no spiritual value. And can God take interest in fleshly things? Of course he does. But let's let it settle on us when we hear a need, see a need, when we're presented with something. Let it settle on us before we jump at it and say, yes, I'll go. And I appreciate what he said about God's call. You know, he said God was calling me there. Every step of his testimony, he said, and it was God's will. And God stepped in and God showed the way. And that's the way it works. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about this. And they said they walked into church. And when they walked in, they felt the presence of God, the embrace of God when they entered this room. And that's God saying, this is home to you. This is your church. That's how it works. That's how it should work. When God embraces, it's wonderful. And people tell me, Sister Kathy was telling me the other day about people in the church that just showed her so much love when she came here. But that's flesh. It's good, and we ought to do it. But there also is that embrace of God when the Spirit says, this is your church. This is where you belong. And I'm glad he did. But that's two different things. She said, Lord, son of David, help. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. He said nothing. And that prompted the disciples. You know, sometimes we wait to see what everybody else is going to do. The disciples said, God, get rid of her. She doesn't belong here. Isn't that what they said? His disciples came and besought him. Send her away. She crieth after us. She's been bothering us. She's been after us. She keeps coming up with this need, presenting this need. Y'all have heard the saying, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, right? The empty wagon makes the most noise, right? The squeaky wheel. So she kept coming. Jesus told us about the woman who went to the judge, and she kept after him and kept after him and kept after him. And it says finally he helped her, not because he wanted to help her, but because he wanted to get rid of her. The disciples said, Lord, get rid of her. She does not belong. She's not one of us. Send her away. Look at verse 24, because Jesus halfway concurs with what they're saying. He says, I'm not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Where is she from? She's from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. She's called the Syrophoenician woman. The Syrophoenician people, they're sea people. They're ship people. They live on the coast and on the water. It was a territory of Syria. And so, she was not a Jew. Earlier it said a woman of Canaan. Well, that's the region, but she was not Jewish. She was not of Israel. And so Jesus says, understand that in these 3 years that I am here, I am focused on my effort. I have an intense focus on this area for these people, for the Jews. Isn't that what he said? I'm come for one reason, the house of Israel. One reason, the Jews. Why? Because God had to really get something going in Israel, because guess what? He was going to be gone. Jesus was going to minister for 3 years, and then he was going to be off the scene. Yes, the power of the Spirit would be back, the presence of God through the Spirit, but Jesus himself in a physical manifestation would no longer be here. And so he had to really get something strong, really get it charged up in Israel in order for when he was gone for it to continue. Does that make sense to everybody? He had to have laser focus. You know, we can't do everything, can we? We just can't. We see a need, we see a burden, and we say, oh, I'd like to help. We can't. We can't do everything. We can't do it all. That's why God is so wise that he brings a church full of people like this together with different backgrounds, different experience, different ability, and he puts all of us in the church and tells the church to minister. Because between all of us, we can get it all done. In every area, in every need, that's what God does. But he gives focus, and he says, this is it. I've got to focus on my work here. Now, many of us, when we pray and we don't get an answer, we move on. We give up. We lose hope. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, well, when do I stop praying? Paul prayed and God said no, right? He said, Lord, I've got a thorn in the flesh. Will you remove it? And God said no. But he got an answer, right? Here, this woman kept asking until she got an answer. Look at what she does. She came and worshiped him, verse 25, saying, Lord, help me. Who did she want help for? It wasn't her. Her daughter. I believe that if it had been a personal need for this woman, the first response would have been enough and she would have walked away. But when it comes to our children, we go back. When it comes to those we love, we keep going back. And I've often said, you know, if we're trying to help, I recall one situation in particular. I was going to go visit this couple. Nothing wrong with them. They didn't need anything. And I thought, you know, I want to go visit with them because I love them. They're my friends. But you know what would bless them more is if I went and visited their relative that actually needed something. And so I did that, and they were both blessed. And so we can touch people by helping the people they love, the people that love them. Not only that, but you know, when it comes to salvation, if we can reach the children and we love their children, it will affect the parents. You say, well, I've reached a lot of children and the parents never got interested in God, but we loved their children and they appreciated that. Even if they didn't get saved, even if they didn't come to church, they saw that we loved their children and we gave them the Word of God. She said, Lord, help me. And yes, it will help me if you help my children, right? Yes, it will help us if we help those that we love. But she kept coming back. She came back. And he answered her in verse 26, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. He ignored her. She didn't give up. Now he's offended her. Now he's not offended, but insulted. Have you ever been insulted? Do you always get offended when somebody tries to insult you? Not always. It just depends on who it is and the situation. She did not let it disturb her. She did not let it cool her fury, her eagerness to reach him so that her daughter could be made whole. He's the one person that had what she needed, her daughter needed. One person. Where else could she go? Remember when he turned to Simon Peter and he said, will you also go away? Simon Peter said, Lord, where? You have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? To whom will we go? There's no other teacher like you. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Verse 27, she said, true, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know what she said? She said, I'll be a dog, but you're the master. the humility, the surrender. Guys, when it comes to our prayers, when it comes to our burdens, and this was a burden she had for her daughter, when it comes to our burden, we got to set our ego aside, our pride aside, surrender to God. We've got to confess our sin, humble ourselves, and come before God and pray and be willing to accept whatever He gives us. She said, I'm not asking for the bread. Just give me some crumbs. Are we satisfied with crumbs? I'm afraid sometimes we're satisfied with not even any crumbs. We don't even come close to God's table. But we have a place, the Bible says, at His table. We have a place at His table. We don't have to be satisfied with crumbs. We accept what God gives us. But God gives us great blessings. God's been very good to us, every one of us. When it comes to the spiritual things, she says, I'll just take whatever you give me. I'll take crumbs. But you're the only one that can give it. You're the master. I'll take what I can get. She had a humble attitude. When it comes to church and service and every level of service, we've got to have humility. We've got to be willing to serve, and we've got to be willing to go anywhere, anything. I mean, Cambodia. He didn't just say Cambodia. He said the poor of Cambodia. Going to the people that nobody else is trying to reach. We've got to go to those who have no one else. We've got to go to those who no one else is trying to help. No one else is trying to reach. Those are the ones we've got to go to. And in those situations where they come to us, we need to help them. We need to show them love. Jesus lets it settle on everyone's ears. And what He finds is that nobody else said, Lord, will You help her? They had done that before. Remember when the Greeks came and said, we would see Jesus? And they came and told Jesus, hey, they want to talk to You. They came and told Him. This woman wants in, and they said, Lord, she's been bothering us. She's been after us and following us, and get rid of her. Shut it down. And He says, I'm come for the Jews. She says, I need You. He said, it's the bread belongs to the children. She says, I'll take the crumbs. Look at what He says. Verse 28, Jesus answered and said to her, woman, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Great is thy faith. What will our faith make us do? Where will our faith take us? Hers took her to Jesus. She was away from her family. She was away from her daughter that was sick. She could have said, well, my daughter's sick. I need to stay and send somebody else. Isn't that what they had done with Lazarus? They sent somebody else. Go get him. Lord, the one You love is sick. Okay, all right, I'll be there. And then finally, as He's on the way, then the sisters came out and said, hey, He's sick. In fact, He's dead. He'd waited 4 days. Now He's dead. She didn't. She took it. It was her responsibility. And she went. And she didn't take no for an answer. And she wouldn't be insulted. And she wouldn't make an excuse. Her faith took her to Jesus. Her faith caused her to present the need. Her faith caused her to be persistent. And not quit. Not give up. And it says her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She got home and everything was okay. He told her, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. I wonder, it doesn't tell us. I wonder what her attitude was on the way home. I wonder if she rushed home to see her daughter in expectancy of a whole daughter that was not sick and didn't have a devil. She didn't wonder, what kind of a mess am I going to come home to? She finally was secure and confident in the peace. What was it that she wanted? Says she had a devil. And y'all ever dealt with somebody like that? Felt like they had a devil. And then when she got home, it was no longer living with a devil. When she got home, there was peace. Now, who could ask for more than that? But it was her faith that made her go. It was her faith that made her stay. It was her faith that caused her not to be insulted. It was her faith that caused her not to give up, not be offended, and not to quit. Again, spiritual, building up our faith. How do we build up our faith? Well, the Bible says, be in the Word, be in prayer, and sing spiritual songs. Building up that most holy faith. Setting our hearts on God, our mind on God, our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. Because when we take our eyes off Him and start looking at the world, I'll tell you something, there's enough out there to scare you to death. I mean, just watching the news makes you want to dig a hole and climb in it. But when we put our faith on God and we know, because I'm looking forward to heaven, aren't you? And I put my trust in Christ and He washed my sins away. I was young, you know, in my faith. I didn't know much. But as I grow in my faith and I grow in my relationship with God, I look forward more and more to being there. Got a good life. Love my life. It's chaotic, but that's, you know, by design. Right? That's the way it should be. Not everybody could do it, but God's doing it through us. And I'm longing to be in heaven and take as many people with me as will go. Let's stand. Father, we thank You for Your love and Your grace and the opportunity to be in Your Word and Your house tonight with Your people. Thank You for the time that we've shared in song and prayer and in Your Word. Lord, meet the needs of those who are grieving, those who are suffering, those who are in need. God, as each one of us looks at our needs tonight, let us come to You with faith, with the assurance that You are able, and with the understanding that sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no. God, may we be faithful to You, trusting You, loving You, come what may. Keep us in Your grace, forgive us of our sins. Bring us back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.